Maybe I'll really take my time. All right, all right. Shalom, everybody. Welcome to Rashad Messianic Bible Club. And welcome to this Thursday morning edition of Bible Studies. I don't know if everyone watched on Sunday, but like I said, the Lord is like showing me every day how precise this whole thing is and how it's all trying to get everyone ready for what's about to happen. I don't know how many people listen to me, but I know it's quite a bit, and everybody's sharing, and we're kind of all over the world, and everybody's sharing. I hope they're sharing wherever they're at, because it is... I think God's trying to make it as plain as possible, and I'm trying to take the information that God has given me to make it as plain as possible. I don't know how you can have so many things pointing to one time. I mean, I was done when we found that the scripture that gives us the year is the scripture that says after the pandemic. And I think God saved that. It's like, they won't find this till after the pandemic, so let's make it after the pandemic. And so it's just so much that God is trying to show us. The Lord was telling me this morning, like, it's impossible for us to really prepare for the rapture. It's like, it's beyond your imagination. So you can kind of imagine it, like, we're standing around and there's all these angels. Says, you have no idea what you're about to see, you know? And so I have the calling from God is not to prove the rapture. My calling for God is to make sure people are prepared for the rapture. So last night's message was really about your preparedness. It was not about me figuring out dates and times or anything like that. It was about you being prepared, because I don't want you to be a Pharisee.
Right.
And if anybody thinks I preach once saved, always saved, I'm about as far from that as we are from the moon. So, but I do preach that sanctification. And I do preach that once you come into Christ, the whole reason for you reading the Bible is because you're sanctifying yourself from the world. You're filling yourself up with more and more of God's knowledge as the knowledge of God and the Word of God gets inside of you, that you're purging yourself from your old man. Amen. You're getting rid of things that you used to live with, but God knows that they have to be purged out of you. So, and he uses the Word of God to do that for us. And so long as you stay in the Word, you're going to be fine, and you keep growing, and you protect your heart, which I'm finding out Christians have to do, because if you don't protect your heart, people will come to you and tell you, you know, give up on Christianity. You can't do it. I've noticed yet you're struggling with it. You just can't do Christianity. Why don't you just go back in the world, you know? And it's bad enough to have people in the world telling you that, but when you have Christians telling you that, it becomes even worse. And then God was showing me, like, this is a big problem in the body of Christ right now. It's like us not praying for people who we don't believe that are as good of Christians as we are. We're not praying for them. We're talking about them,
right.
You know, instead of saying, but it's such a gray area, because you got to go and tell them. Like, if my brother was living in sin, right, he's like, well, we don't think that a marriage certificate is necessary. We just, you know, we feel married. I would have to, as a Christian, I would have to say, as my Christian brother, God has not changed any rules, man. You need to get married because what you're living in is fornication, and you're trying to make God come down to your rules, and God's trying to get you to come up to his way, right?
Amen.
So I would tell him, and he might say, well, you're judging me. No, I'm not judging you. I'm warning you. Don't persist in being disobedient to God because it doesn't end well,
Amen.
Right? So that doesn't mean that God don't love him no more because he's living with his girlfriend. He accepted Christ, but now he's fallen into sin. He's living with his girl. That don't mean God don't love him no more.
Right.
That means God is trying to reach his heart to get him to turn and come back to reality that the word of God is what guides things and not your feelings or things like that, right?
Amen.
It's a very well-balanced thing that God gives us. You know what I mean? And it's something that the Holy Spirit teaches us to stay in balance. We're not supposed to be a bunch of whacked out Christians, all off balance. I remember a church that me and Pastor Ben went to, and we both got kicked out. But there was a young lady that got pregnant at the church. And this was after we left, and we went to go visit her after.
Yeah.
We said, and I asked, and we said, and she said, I left the church because the pastor stood up. He knew I was pregnant and I wasn't married. And he stood up and said, some of us are acting like little sluts in here, like we can sleep around with anyone we want. And then we get pregnant and then we want the church to come and bail us out and try to help us with problems that we have. But if you're sleeping with somebody and he says, now this young lady, and points her out. Now she's pregnant, and now because of her sinful attitude, and therefore now she's in a bad situation and she expected the church to bail her out. But sometimes you gotta kick your legs and all this. And she said, she just started crying. She got up and walked out. And she said, this is what the pastor was saying in front of the other people. Now, me and Pastor Ben already knew he was crazy because he kicked us out.
Yep.
You know what I mean? I knew he was crazy. I was in meetings with him.
Yep.
Okay? But now this poor young lady is finding out this guy is off balance. Mentally, that is not what a mature person would do to anyone.
Right.
But he did it. So we don't want to be mentally off, you understand? Judging people and telling people that they're not good enough and da 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 this and all this. We want to be well balanced. If I see my brother in sin, I want to let him know, you're in sin, brother. I'm praying for you that you get out of that. But I don't want to say, and you're never going to be saved, you're going to be in the tribulation because you don't deserve to be saved. Because you already know Christ and you know you're not supposed to be doing that. You're not saved and you never will be saved. You're mentally off.
Yeah.
You understand?
Yeah.
Instead of talking about somebody, I want us to pray for people. Instead of saying, I love Jesus and I hate my mother-in-law, I want us to say, I love Jesus and I forgive my mother-in-law
and
I'd like to go and I'm praying for her, you know? We got to be balanced. If we're not balanced, we're just a bunch of weirdos practicing religion.
Yeah.
You know, and then you throw on top, you're waiting for the rapture, they really think you're crazy, you know? So, I'm just saying, be balanced. The greatest thing about being a Christian is that the Holy Spirit is so balanced.
Yes.
The Word of God is so balanced. There's nothing crazy about it. It's telling you to be obedient. Once you come into Christ, be obedient because obedience will lead you into the kingdom.
Yes.
And it will lead you into blessings. If you're not, it's telling you to repent. Stay in your word. Keep purging yourself. Keep sanctifying yourself. Keep growing in Christ, okay?
Yeah.
Now, we all know the dangers of continuous sin. Whatever controls you is your master.
Yep.
And it doesn't end well. But we don't want to kick you out. You know, you throw the baby out with the bathwater, you know, because, no, we want to encourage you to stay in your word and keep growing because we know that God still loves you. Because if he didn't, you wouldn't be here.
Amen.
You know what I mean? If God was mad at you, you would know. Okay? So praise God.
Amen.
I'm done on that thing. I want to thank Yeni and her husband Israel for sending me a card last night. And
his husband's name is Israel?
Huh? Yeah, Yeni's husband's name is Israel, yeah. His rap name is Israel the Poet, and so she sent me.
Oh, I just know him as the poet.
She sent me the card last night, and I'm just very thankful that. And if they're listening, I don't know because we're not on YouTube, but if they're listening, I have a lot of music that I want, new music I want to send him because he's a gospel rapper. Yeah. Okay, I want to pray us in, and then we're going to get started because we have a lot of really good stuff to talk about. From a really good God who's shown us some really incredible things.
That's crazy.
Because he wants us to know that it's time and to be ready, okay? So, let's pray in. Bow your head with me. Avanu Shaba Shabaim Yi Kadeshim Ha, Tavo Mechutekari Yi Asero Sanakha. בארץ כאשר נעשה בשמיים. תן לנו היום לחם חוקנו וסלח לנו את אשמתנו. כאשר סולחים אנחנו לאשר אשמלנו. ואל תביאנו לידי מסע, כי אם חזילנו מן הרע, כי לך הממלכה והגברה והתפארת לעולמי לעולמים. אמן. בהשם ישוע. Our Lord, our Savior, our King, we pray. And let's get started. Okay. Yesterday's notes. Where do we start? We start in Genesis, okay? And if you have yesterday's notes, we're on page 2. So I want you to go to page 2 so that we know, we understand where we're at, okay? Brandon, did you have notes? Okay. So on page 2, we're starting off this Bible study by reminding us that of a scripture. And let's read the scripture because I think that this scripture is very important for us to read because it tells you what God is doing. I think it's Isaiah 46 verse 9. And it says this, remember this and fix it in your mind, that's verse 8. Take it to heart, you rebels. Remember the former things, those of long ago. I am God and there is no other. I am God and there is none like me. I make known the end from the beginning. Okay? So this is what God's statement is. I make known the end from the beginning. Is that a clue or what? Yeah. God's saying, if you want to know what the end is, look in the beginning. Because I make it plain what I'm going to do in the very beginning. So what's the beginning of scripture? Bereshit bara Elohim et hashamayim va'et haaretz, which is a numerical value of 2701 and reversing it on itself and all of these things that are in Genesis that God is saying, you go back and look at what I first wrote and you will see the end from the beginning. And this is what God is showing me. Because we found out so much concerning Psalms 117. We found out so much concerning Psalms 119 verse 88 and 89. We found out so much about Genesis 1 verse 6 telling us about dividing the waters. We found out so much about Psalms 121 having a lamed, meaning that this is the time of the rapture from 2021 to 2022 of September. We found out that the Hebrew time for that is 5782, which is 22. So we're finding out all of these things, but Psalms 121 has the numerical value for Psalms 121 is 2220. When I pulled that up, I went, oh my God. Not only does it have the lament that says this is the year that you go up, its numerical value is 2220, which means this is the ultimate trumpet call.
Yep.
This is the ultimate voice of God. This is the ultimate chariot ride. This is your ultimate blessing, right? All of this is in the numerical value 2220, because 222 means the voice of God, but the ultimate of it is when you added the zero. I know this because this is, and now I understand more and more why God says study Hebrew. Without it, you're not going to be able to understand what I'm doing and understand the word of God better. Okay, so Psalms 121 has a numerical value 2220, and it's important to us. Psalms 117 has the numerical value 2294, which means revealed and to know. Okay? So something gets revealed and we're going to know. Then Psalms 119 verse, my math friend says, remember, it's 88, then it's 89, it's Christ in judgment. 2294. So he's showing me like all of these numbers that God is putting together is so that the church can see plainly what God is doing. Okay? Did you get that, Pastor Ben?
Yes, sir.
Psalms 119 is 88 and verse 89, which when you write it, it's Jesus and judgment. Okay? So the Lord is like, I'm showing you this first so that you'll see. So we get to Psalms 121, and we know it's the Psalm of the ascension, the psalm to ascend, right? Now, it's the psalm to ascend up. It's the only psalm of 15 psalms that has a lament in it, okay? Which means this is the action of going up is in this year, okay? So, 2220, I'm like, 2294? I'm amazed, okay? Then now God says, oh, now I want to show you that all of these numbers, this number and this number is in Genesis. Okay, I know he wasn't here on Sunday, so he didn't get this chart.
Oh.
Okay. And this is pretty incredible. Okay, so this is what I'm just gonna go because let the Holy Spirit kind of guide me, because
Amen.
If you try to think of all of it at once, you'll just drive yourself nuts, okay? So if you're in the first, it says the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit is the Trinity. The numerical value for God is 7, which is spiritual perfection. So the Trinity and spiritual perfection is 3 and 7, which is the number 37. So what God is doing is, Genesis chapter 1, the whole numerical value of Genesis chapter 1 is 37 times 73. So all God did was took spiritual the Trinity and spiritual perfection, and then you turned it back on itself and said 73,
yeah.
And it's going to be 2701. And so what God is doing, but now he made the whole thing of Genesis, the whole numerical value of Genesis is a numerical multiplication of the number 37.
Right.
Okay. But God said, matter of fact, what he did was, he took all the words that are in Genesis 1, and no matter how you switch them out, he makes sure that they all have a multiplication of 37. So I'll take the first three words and then put them together, and then I'll see, but they have to have a multiplication of 37. So what you're doing is, I say, here's 7 numbers, okay? Here is 913-203-86-401, 959-407, and 296. This is the game we're gonna play, okay? This is the game we're gonna play. Are you in the front of that page? Are you in this page? Okay, this is the game we're gonna play. You see these seven numbers at the top? 913-203-86-401, 395-407, and 296. Those are the numerical values of, watch this. Bereshit, Bara, Elohim, Et, Hashamayim, Va'et, Ha'aretz. Those represent those seven letters, those seven words. I want you to take these seven numbers, mix and match them whatever way you want, but whatever way it turns out, it has to be a perfect multiplication of 37. And so God does this with Genesis. And so he says, well, let's put this number with that and put that number with that, and then that'll be 22 times 37. Put this with that, and that'll be 60 times 37. Put this number with that letter and that one, this will be that times 37. So he's able to do this 22 times, 22 different numbers, 23 times, but two of them are 999. That's a whole nother thing. So he does this, and if you look at the first thing, it says 8 times 37 equals 296, okay? 11 times 37 will equal 407. And you'll keep going down, okay? 9 times 37 on page 2 will equal 703, which is 19 times 37 equals 703. And what I'm doing, I'm just taking numbers and mixing and matching them, but they all have to have a multiplication of the Trinity and the perfect God, 37. Okay, so 13 times 37. But then I got all the way down to the 19th time that you do it, and it says 60 times 37 equals 2220. Wait a minute. Pass it in. 60 is the numerical value of Semek, which is 120, right?
Right.
When you spell it out, and what is 120? The church. So the numerical value of the church and 2220 are synonymous in multiplying 37 times 60 is 2220. Okay, the pillars.
Right.
Okay, so God puts in Genesis, in the equation of Genesis, he has the equation of 2220. It's already there before we found it. It's been there, right? So then I go down to the 21st time that he does it, and it's 62 times 37, and it's 22294. Which is the same numerical value as Psalms 117, verse 1 and 2, that tells the Gentiles to rejoice. It's the same numerical value as Psalm 119, 88, and 89, which is the Lamed and the Kof, 2294, and both of these numbers match the same, saying something's going to be revealed, and you're going to know, okay? So, but he puts both numbers in Genesis, okay? And now, look with this, okay? If you look at the number on the page, look at what it says here. 62 times 37 equals 2294, okay? Now, this is the question. How many letters is in Psalms 117, verse 1 and 2? How many letters? 62 letters, right? So 62 letters equals 2294. But 62 times 37 Hebrews 2:2-4. So God already positioned this to be in Genesis before we ever figured out any of this, okay? This is what God is showing me now. It's like, I already told all of this stuff from the beginning. The church is about to leave. You can't, don't try to imagine it, because you're going to be very disappointed that you couldn't even come close to what you're going to see, okay? So, but understand, this was already planned out in Genesis, okay? Those 2220 and 2294 is in Genesis. You understand? Okay, so I'm like, well, where did I get the number, get the idea to go to Psalms 117? Where did I get the idea that I needed to go to Psalms 117? From Genesis 1 verse 6, which says, let them divide between 117 plus 62. So somewhere in the scripture, there's a 117th chapter that has 62 letters that equal 2294, which is 37 Trinity times 62. But it's going to have 62 letters that's going to say the same thing. Do you see what I'm saying? That's why I don't try not to think about it. I was like, just keep talking. You don't want to mess yourself up. So it's like, who's doing this? You want to yell up to the sky, right? You know, my math friend telling me, like, it's crazier than you think. He's telling me like this, Pastor Ben. No, you don't understand, because you're not a mathematician. It's crazier than you think. Okay? This is what he said. He said, the numerical values are so astronomical. He says, everything's so perfectly linked. It's like the human body. It's like every DNA and every cell and everything is working together in harmony. All the numbers, all the letters are not in just the Bible, but in math. Everything is a link to the Word of God. All numerical values are linked to the Word of God. Something in there, in every numerical value, is going to be linked. That's in the Word of God, that God is trying to show you. My book is beyond your imagination. Okay? It's beyond your understanding. Okay, so I say, where do I get this? I get it from Genesis chapter 1, verse 6. And let it divide between is 117. Let it divide is 117. Between is 62. We go to a chapter that is 117. If one verse 1 and 2 has 62 letters, it gives us this number that's already in Genesis, 62 times 37. So that means God already knew this is linked to what? What is it linked to? Let's go on the next page where, let's see. I'm sorry. Okay, leave this. Let's see, do we leave this?
Like today's note?
Yeah, go back to today's notes, because we have to look at how we got here. Okay, so you'll see there, Genesis 1:6, and if you're on this page, you'll see there Genesis 1:6 says mavdel, which means let it divide. Okay, yehi mavdel means let it divide. Ben, which means between, okay? Because I'm dividing the waters. Mm-hmm. Listen what Genesis is telling you. I'm dividing the waters. I'm dividing people, nations, tongues. I'm dividing the water in Genesis. I'm taking half of them above the firmament, above the sky. I'm leaving half of them below the sky.
Yes.
Okay? And so, as I'm doing this, Noah lives for 600 years. Nobody knows anything about rain. Noah was a complete nut talking to these people about rain coming out of the sky.
He was.
Really?
Yeah.
You mean like water that's in the ocean and in the lakes, and the water we drink is going to fall out of the sky? Yes. He's like, this has never happened. You've been alive 600 years, then no water's ever fell out the sky. Oh, well, let me tell you, in Genesis 1:6, it used to be that all the waters were in one place, but God took half of it above the sky, and he said, you won't see that water again until judgment day. Mm-hmm. So who's the water? The water represents people, nations, tongues, people, human beings. I'm taking half of them above, and they won't see you again until I come back in judgment. That's why it'll be as it was in the days of Noah.
Yes.
Okay? So, God says, not only am I telling you this prophecy, remember, God, I'm sitting here and I'm saying, the first prophecy of the rapture is Adam and Eve, and you know, God brought Eve to Adam, and God stopped me in the middle of the Holy Spirit stopped me in the middle of this. That's not the first prophecy, rapture prophecy. First rapture prophecy is in Genesis chapter 1, verse 6. And I heard it while I'm teaching this. I can't correct myself in front of people, but I had to go home and check why. And God is like, no, this is the first one was, I'm going to show you one day, I'm going to divide the waters. I'm going to divide people, nations, tongues. I'm going to take half of them above the firmament. I'm going to leave half of them below. And I'm putting in a word that says, Yehi Mavdel, which is 117, and between, which is 62. So find the chapter that's 117 and has 62 letters, and then add it together and find out what the numerical value is, and then it'll lead you to the next clue. Cool. So we find them, that's 117, that's verse 1 and 2. It has 2294, and you go, oh my goodness, okay. Now that's going to lead you to the next clue. What's the next clue? Psalms 119, verse 88 and 89 is the same numerical value as this, and this divides the word of God. So there's a passage. There's a passage going through. There's a passage going through here.
Yes.
This is a Passover. This is dividing the water. This is what happened when Moses brought the children through, right?
Yes.
I'm dividing the water, and there's an escape happening here. Okay, so if this is the only other chapter that has this same numerical value, why? Okay, I'm gonna show you why, because let me see if I put it, oh yeah. Go to the next page, page 4. Now watch this. See this page right here, Pastor Ben?
Yes.
Go to that page. You're like, listen, you guys, I know you don't understand everything I'm telling you. I'm telling you right now, get ready for the rapture.
Yeah.
That's all I'm really telling you. And get rid of everything that's not like, not God, okay?
Yeah.
All right, so, since the next verse that gives us this number is here, we say, how is it there? It's there between two chapters because Psalms 119 is really all of the Hebrew letters. And since it's all of the Hebrew letters, I'm trying to figure out where I could put this. You have, it's the division of Kaf and Lamed. See that? Lamed, look how Lamed is the only letter that goes up above all the other letters. Okay? So now you said it's the last verse of Kaf, which is 88. Now, if you're a Hebrew student, you go, wait a minute, if it's the last verse, that means this Kaf can no longer be like this. It has to be a Semet. I mean, it has to be a Sophit letter. So now it has to come down. So now that Kaf has to come down, okay? So the Kaf comes down, Lamed goes up, and then you get to Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16. It says, for the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, and with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. But first he has to come down. He has to come down, then he has to go up, right? So it says then, look, and it says, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet with the Lord, and so we will be with the Lord forever. So now I'm like, oh my goodness. These two verses that divide the letter of the Hebrew says that one is coming down, and then the other one is lamata, which means to go up. So God is like, I'm making it very clear that before I can bring you up, I've got to come down to the cloud, and I'm giving you the year that is going to happen. How are you giving us the year? Because the Hebrew has ...22 letters, but I'm dividing them, 11 and 11 on this side. So I'm dividing the letters. Times is 121, okay? So in Psalms 121, I'm going to give you 2220. Okay? So in Psalms 121, I'm going to give you 2220. And 2294 is positioned as the 21st time that I multiplied that gave you this number.
Yeah.
You understand? So it's like everything has to link because it's like your body. Everything's working together. Even though there's many body parts, every blood cell, everything has to be linked because it's a living organism. I'm trying to let you know the Word of God is a living organism, and it's words and numbers, but it's a living organism, okay? That's why he says the Word of God is living. It's the living Word because it's built just like your body. It's all linked together, okay? So we divide this letter, and it gives us, there's 22 letters, crazy part, okay? And it gives us, we divide the letters in 121, and it gives us in Psalms 121, it gives us 2220, which is, this is when you're going to hear the voice of God. And what's he going to do? He's going to come down first. I was like, well, where is it in the scripture that confirms this? He goes, Isaac, when he got married. When Isaac got married, he didn't meet his wife at his father's house. He went down to Negev down south, and then the Holy Spirit brought the bride up, and he met her down south.
Yep.
Then they went back up and they got married, and then that's where they consummated the wedding.
Yeah.
Okay? So he's like, everything is telling you, before I take you up, I'm coming down first. Okay? So all of this is being linked into the scriptures. Okay? Into the scriptures. Now we got to go to something crazy. Are you still on this page? You're on that page? Now watch this. Okay. Now watch this. I just got to show you this because I think it's very crazy. Now watch this, okay? Here's the board. Okay?
Hold on.
Universal cosmic content. Two dimensionless numbers are in the mathematical equation. One is pi. After the point is dimensionless. The numbers continue on and on and on. The other one is e, after the period is dimensionless. The numbers go on and on and on, right? So therefore, but the equation of pi is in Genesis chapter 1. And the equation of the E is in John chapter 1, verse 1. And both of them are talking about in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. One is 73 times 37, and the other one is 39 times 93. So they're both two numbers turned back on each other. Okay? Now, I'm being shown this by the Lord to let me know that pi, because we did in our Hebrew class, that the answer to pi is Genesis chapter 1. It's the same numerical value in Genesis chapter 1 as in pi. Okay? So now I get, hey, by the way, go look at pi. And I have a website that you can put in the numbers and you can find out where 2220 is positioned in pi and see if it tells you anything. And then you could look up 2022 and see where it's positioned in pi, okay? So if you look at 2220, which is the voice of God, what is the number right after 2220? 888. That's in the infinite equation of pi. Right after you go to 2220, you get 888. The voice of God. You get Jesus. Okay? Now, you say, well, what about in the year 2022? After 2022, you get 153. The fish. The church. Right after the equation in pi. So this is what the guy's trying to tell me. All the numbers in pi are telling you the story of the Bible in the equations as you go through the equations that are infinite. Now, what's the chance of 888 being after 2220, which is the ultimate voice of God? And what is the chances of 2022 being the 153 fish, the next equation after it? What is the chances of it? Unless God already knew when he created pi, because somebody made pi in the beginning, right? So God is like, I want you to know this, okay? Because I'm giving you a mind to know and to understand this. The simple part of this is you don't want to be so unintelligent that you don't go, wait a minute, 5782 is 22. We're in the year 2022, which is after 2022 is the 153 fish, okay? In this year, this is so crazy to me. Okay, so then he said, this year is 5782, which happens to be 22. Wheat in the Hebrew language is 22. 22 times in the book, in the Bible, God made sure he used the word tribulation, 22. It's like I'm making it simple on a very clear stage that something's going on. Now, if we don't listen to all of this as it's going on after pandemic, after the pandemic, okay, the scripture that gave us after the pandemic gave us what? Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and the church. Okay? So God is like, I'm trying to make this as plain as possible. Okay? This is why I told you to go look up wheat harvest so that you can see, because I never looked up wheat harvest before to see what the numerical value. The word wheat is 22. The word harvest is 400. Guess what? 400 is the numerical value of the 22nd letter of the Hebrew, which is Tav. Yep. So that would be 422. Guess what 422 is? Salvation. Okay, I'm done. Right? Where's my cape? Let me go stand in the front yard because this is done, right? Because of all of this is not showing you clearly what God is about to do. Then you just like, okay, I'm gonna be blind. Now, this is what the Lord says. Because all of this is true, doesn't mean I'm gonna give you a sign. Nothing gonna, sky's not gonna turn red. You know what I mean? The sky's not gonna turn red. There's nothing in the scripture that tells you the exact date and time and hour that it's gonna happen. I've given you the year, but like I told you, if I give them the year, now they wanna know the month. If I give them the month, now they wanna know the week. If I give them the week, now they wanna know the day. If I give them the day, now they wanna know the hour. If I give them the hour, now they wanna know the minute. If I give them the minute, they wanna know the second.
Yep.
He says, there's no end to these people, so don't be concerned about it. I gave you the year, okay, and you're in the wheat harvest season.
Yeah.
That's all you need to know. Your job is to stay ready. So if you don't want to stay, now I'm preaching like last night, I'm trying to not have you not miss the rapture because you're caught in pride. You're a Pharisee. Nobody's as good a Christian as me. I give tithes. I'm not like that publican over there. I don't rob people. I'm so perfect that God has to take me in the rapture, and those people don't deserve it because they're in sin. Have you prayed for them? No, I haven't, but if I did, it wouldn't help them. Because they just don't understand what holiness is. And I am holy, but they're not holy. And so you become this person, and God says, you persisted in this type of behavior. You won't repent of this pride. This is the same as Jonah sitting on the edge of the hill, waiting for Nineveh to be destroyed. And God is like, look at all this comfort that I gave you. Everything that you are came from God. So God is like, we get the pride out, okay? I asked you to help me with the harvest, to increase the harvest before I came. I'm telling you the year. That's all you need to know. I'm telling you it's the wheat harvest. That's all you need to know. And I asked you one thing. Help me increase the harvest. Not judge the rest of the people, not do all these things. Now, God had to give me a wake-up call Sunday because I realized, oh my God, you're here and you're listening and you're talking about the rapture and you're a Pharisee. You're sitting here saying, I'm so holy because I stopped sinning. Really? How did you stop sinning? I just decided one day I'm going to stop. Really? And the Holy Spirit had nothing to do with that? Oh, no. The Holy Spirit had nothing to do with that. See, I'm so holy that I decided within myself that I was going to stop sinning, and that's why God has blessed me, and that's why I have this wonderful, blessed life, because the Holy Spirit didn't take... But so what if we take the Holy Spirit out of you? You think you would still want to live godly? I guarantee you no. You wouldn't have the maturity to live godly without the Holy Spirit inside of you. God gave you the Holy Spirit so that you can sanctify yourself and be ready for the day. The scripture says in Corinthians chapter 13, and I'm going to read it.
10 minutes.
That's good, Pastor Ben. Corinthians chapter 13, I love the Bible. Just listen to what it says in Corinthians chapter 13. Now watch this, okay? It's amazing God, okay? Corinthians chapter 13, what's the numerical value for love in Hebrew? 13. What's the numerical value for rebellion? 13. So God is using love to overcome rebellion. So he gives us a chapter, 13. It has 13 verses, okay? 13 characteristics of love. But at the very end, he says this. He says, when I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put away childish ways behind me. Now we see a poor reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know, 2294, now I know in part. Then I will know fully, even as I am known. And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. So I won't be fully matured until I'm face to face with Christ. That means you haven't arrived yet. As good a Christian as I believe Pastor Ben is, he has not arrived yet. It has not been fully revealed, and he doesn't fully know yet. But love is leading him there. Faith, hope, love is leading him there. So God says, you need to know my personality. I'm slow to anger, quick to forgive, abounding in love and patience and kindness. As I do what? As I'm leading you into the kingdom of God face to face with him. Romans chapter 2, what we read last night. Listen what chapter 4 says. Chapter 4 says, it says, or do you show contempt for the riches of God, for the riches of his kindness, tolerance, and patience, not realizing that God's kindness leads you toward to repentance?
Yep.
It's his love that leads you toward repentance. This is why when I'm sitting in prison and I'm thinking God is going, nah, 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 now you're going to get it. But I hear love. But wait a minute, I'm not even living for you. Yeah, I got saved when I was 17 and I remember. But you mean you're still watching out over me? Yes. I keep telling people I went to court the next day. Two people saw the whole thing, and they both loved me, and they were talking about me as if I had died on the cross for them. I was listening to these two girls. I'm like, I didn't know they were watching me. I see him picking up little kids in the neighborhood, and he's so nice to them. He buys them ice cream, and he takes them to the baseball game. I did that one time. And they're telling the judge what a wonderful guy I am. And they say, let him out of here. You arrested him wrongly. Get him out. You're not doing 10 years in prison. I'm like, I'm going back to California. That was close, right? But God loved me. But up until that court date, you know what I was doing? Strip clubs, armed robberies. I'm telling you, strip clubs, armed robberies, and I was living with I was living with her. Most of the time she was there, right? I'm living with a girl, right? This was my life. And I'm on my knees in jail and I'm repent. And God says, I love you. And then brings me back to California and says, now I'm going to make you a pastor. So all the people that were saying, oh, I knew he wasn't never going to be a Christian, never going to be anything. God's love was leading me to a greater place, right? Now, do you despise God's kindness because he was nice to me? That's what God is asking. Are you someone that despises this? It says, you are a mere man. So when you, a mere man, pass judgment on them, yet you do the same, or you have done the same in some time, do you think you will escape God's judgment? Then the person sent me the scripture back. Oh, you forgot to read 4. It says, or do you show contempt for the riches and the kindness and tolerance and patience, not realizing it's God's patience that leads to repentance? He says, but you, because of your stubbornness, what's the stubbornness? Your pride in being a Pharisee, an unrepentant heart, you are storing up wrath against yourself.
Yep.
Why? Because you're stubborn. It's all about you. It's all about how wonderful you are as a Christian and not about getting other people saved. Imagine Jesus walking around going, I got the Spirit of God living in me. I'm living so perfect. The rest of you are trash. it's a horrible attitude, right?
Amen.
I saw that and I'm like, ooh, that's ugly. God says, this is a problem. This is a problem. We need to be praying for people. We need to be finding out who we can get saved, who we can encourage. You know, God may still love them, and they haven't got it all correct yet, but God may still love them, and you can still encourage them and tell, just call them and tell them Jesus loves them. You know, God will say, I'm calling you out of this. I'm calling a church without spots, blemishes, and wrinkles. I think it was Chuck Missler that did a study that said spot, blemishes, and wrinkles is from the Old Testament. It's talking about inner things that are inside of human beings, not blatant, open sins. Spots, blemishes, and wrinkles means inside what's going on. Greed that's inside. Lust that's inside. Hate that's inside. Nobody can see it, but God knows, right? And so God sees pride. They're just not as good as me. They don't get Christianity. If they loved you like the way I love you, Lord, they live right. You know?
Arrogant.
Well, why don't you pray for them? See if and ask the Lord to give them a heart to love you. Oh, I don't pray for people like that because I know that they'll never accept you. God said, your stubbornness to hold on to this pride. Remember the scripture. Jesus gave them this parable because of the way their hearts was. There were two people that went to pray. It starts off by saying Jesus gave this parable because of the stubbornness of their heart and the pride of people's hearts, thinking that they were better than other people. Two men went to go and pray. One said, a Pharisee said, I thank you that I'm not like other sinners. I'm wonderful. Not like that publican. And God said, hey, check yourself, because it's time. Right. Last night's message, God made me the title. And he said, I said, well, what's the title, Lord? He says, it's time to go examine yourself. Okay? Praise God. That's it, Pastor Ben. I'm done. And there's no question and answer unless you got something here.
We may be back Thursday. It may not be until Sunday. We won't know until Wednesday, Thursday.
Okay.
Amen.
Good deal.
You want to pray out?
Yeah, I want to pray out. Let's pray out.